99.5 FM WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, The Mid-Ear Me. Labrish with Haptah Selassie will be back next week following the work of the Midnight Ravers at 2 a.m. And stay tuned for Back of the Book. It is 5 a.m. right here in New York City. Back of the Book comes your way right now.
I used to sit here and sound as if I'm beating BAI's drum, but I really feel sometimes that the station is taken too much for granted. And I think if there's one thing which I guess a lot of people have lost is the sense of wonderment and awe that a place like BAI exists.
This is WBAI in New York City. Sorry as you may be to hear that. Excuse me for a minute. I'll be right back.
Well, I don't know. You've done some very strange things on the radio, and I
apologize.
I don't want to judge you solely by the past.
Yes, that's true. Well, I was not aware of these things which you just brought to my attention, and I'll certainly be more careful in the future to try and protect my interests and the interests of America and democracy.
WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York. Let's keep it going. Go to Tower Fund.
I hate to sit here and sound as if I'm beating.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be on Sunday, May 19th, 2024, at 1 p.m.
This is radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smart his guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm hoping that it's 5 a.m. and you're listening to All. That was the very first "The Worm Ate My Brain" excuse in American politics. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear. And a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program. You can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can go up there or look around at things, and when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 175th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the week in various manifolds of multiverses is we are still holding at the ultra-gigantic total of 125 followers on Twitter or X or whatever it's called right now. And I got notice today that they are officially changing the URL, the address of Twitter. I guess that Leon Scum is just going to remove all record of anything that was ever named Twitter from the internet. Yes, it's going to be X now, officially. That's where you'll be going. They have a little thing on there that says, quote, creators for you, unquote, with links to subscribe to certain accounts. The first of the three listed creators is Leon Scum himself. Also listed is Roseanne Barr. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, June 12, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a meeting on May 8th. Try as they might, the people who try to prevent the LSB from functioning so that they can claim that if they're reelected to it and their pals are elected to it, they can fix everything. Those people were not able to prevent the populating of one committee and the commencement of electing people to another. And then we had a motion to form a new task force based on task forces that don't exist. And basically, people just want to do as they please and have it called a task force or a committee or something. And what they came up with was not a legal motion. It was, you know, really an attempt to create a shadow LSB, and it got shot down. But I was utterly amazed at how inept the motion they brought was. It just said, well, we did this, and it's based on that, even though that they based it on didn't exist. And so we want to do that. What? You know, if you create a committee or something, you say what it does. They had a name for it. They did have a name. They didn't say who the members would be or how people would become members. It was just, you know, our little club will continue to make believe. It's good that that got shut down. And I'll just note we're back after yet another week off. Yes, we keep getting taken off the air for these specials to pitch and all of that stuff. And oh boy, it's really becoming a thing to do here on WBAI, and we do have to raise a lot of money. We'll be talking about that later on in this radio program. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a website, the CDC website, and there's a notice on it that says, quote, effective May 1, 2024, hospitals are no longer required to report COVID-19 hospital admissions, hospital capacity, or hospital occupancy data to HHS through CDC's National Health Security Network. CDC encourages ongoing voluntary reporting of hospitalization data, unquote. So they're no longer tracking the cumulative death toll in America from COVID-19. So the figure from 2 weeks ago of 1,190,122 is apparently the last one that they'll post. They do have a graphic on their website, and it says what in the past week the number of cases they've heard about are. Of course, they're going to hear about far fewer of them now that the hospitals aren't required to report them. But it seems to say that in the past week, only 287 people have died from COVID-19, which is a significantly lower number from what we reported on the last program 2 weeks ago. So maybe we're coming out of the pandemic, but it's not over. The virus is still out there. It's still mutating. And I think, again, the weather is playing a big part in this. Viruses don't do well in warmer weather. At least airborne viruses don't. Pickles of the North and I are not wearing our masks as much at this point, but we are still planning on getting our spring booster shots at some point soon. As we all know, Donnie Bonespur Trump is on trial for 34 felonies in Manhattan. He's really getting slammed by the evidence. I mean, wowee, it's really very damning. He's been fined $9,000 for contempt of court, and I'm hoping that the judge will really put him in jail if he misbehaves again. That would be so good. Just lock him up. The judge has threatened to do it because obviously if the guy has so much money, fining him $1,000 every time he, you know, does something in contempt of court is meaningless. For somebody like me, it would be devastating. For him, it's meaningless. He can just, you know, say, oh, fine, here's a couple thou. Now I'll say what I want to say about this, that, and the other thing, and try to screw things up for the entire trial. Well, so I think that I think jail is what he really needs. Unfortunately, if Bonespur is found guilty, and I think he is guilty, he will not be facing the prospect of prison time. It has been pointed out that as a first offender of a nonviolent crime, he would end up getting probation in most cases, the same as everybody else would. Well, that's too bad. I mean, he would be convicted. He would be a convicted felon, but he would be given some number of years, probably, to be on probation and behave himself. And if he didn't, then he could end up going to jail, prison. But if he doesn't get convicted of anything else in that time period, he just does whatever he pleases, I suppose. On the other hand, I guess he would have a probation officer. He would have to report to a probation officer. Oh, that would be amusing. I wonder whom they'd get to be his probation officer. I wonder if he'd buy off the probation officer. Oh, wow. Yeah, this is all very unprecedented in American politics, but we may see what's happening. On the other hand, he may not get convicted. After all, one of those jurors said she was one of his followers on social media. So is that person really going to vote to convict, or is she going to say, oh, no, he's really great and MAGA forever, and, yeah, let's reelect him, and, you know, the hell with convicting him, and just prevent it and force a hung jury, which obviously would not be able to come back together with a new jury and start the trial all over again before the November elections. So, yeah, I don't think I want him to get convicted. I'd like to see him go to jail. We know he's not going to do that. But I think he may not get convicted because they allowed that person on there. And there could be some other MAGAites on there who didn't even say that, yeah, we're followers of this guy. And they may just be in there as, you know, stealth MAGAites. And when it comes time to vote, they'll say, oh, not guilty. And just sit there and not consider the evidence at all. That could be what's going to happen. Oh, it's really too bad. So here we are. It's mid-spring still. And, oh, this is good stuff. It's going to become late spring. Late spring will happen Monday afternoon, May 20th, and it will be at 10 minutes to 3 o'clock Monday afternoon. We will enter late spring, which is such a special time of the year. It occurs for part of May and most of June, and it's really spectacularly wonderful most of the time. We hope it is this time. I mean, This May has been a bit wet and dreary, and that's life, and oh, it's rained quite a bit. That may be the climate that we're going to be having from now on, or it may be the transition climate that presages, I don't know what would happen. Nobody can predict precisely what's going to go on. It has been predicted by some a few years ago that by, later in this century, quite a bit later in the century, New York City will have the same climate that Miami has had for the past 100 years. That would be interesting and not so hot. Speaking of Miami, what would they have? They're probably going to be one of those places where you can't live anymore. And you're going to get some of that happening with the climate change that's going on. There are going to be places where people simply can't live there anymore because it's too hot. And we're getting that in various places. We already have serious crop failures in parts of Central America, which, of course, is spurring people to try to come to America where it's cooler and where if you put crops in the ground, they still can grow. Gee whiz, we're facing it now. And those predictions for when New York City's climate would be like that of Miami from 100 years ago, those may not be adequate predictions. It may happen a lot sooner. And I don't know that I'm going to be around for that, but some of the younger listeners there, you're going to find out one way or the other, unfortunately, and that's not so hot. But right now, it's mid-spring, and I like spring. And one sure sign that it's May and that it's spring is the chimney swifts are back. Woohoo! Chimney swifts are these tiny birds, and they eat bugs. They're aerial insectivores. They catch insects in midair and eat them. And this is a good thing, because it cuts down on a number of annoying insects that you got. And, oh boy, when the lantern flies really erupt, which is probably going to happen soon. We had a warm spell a few weeks ago, and swarms of them started to come up, and one of them got into the apartment. And, oh boy, there it was. We dispatched it down the toilet bowl after a while. This past fortnight, we had what I think was a wasp that got in. And, that could happen at any time. But, oh, boy, so we dispatched that down the same facility. But, yes, the chimney swifts are out there, and they do a little chittering thing, which I think is an echolocation deal. And they sort of behave like bats in the daylight. And they go flying back and forth, and they have that same kind of jerky motion, which you need to have if you're going to turn very suddenly to catch a tiny insect. Like a hawk can't catch an insect because the hawk goes after bigger game and it starts flying at it at high speed. If it does that with an insect, it's not going to catch anything. It's not going to catch much with its big claws coming after a tiny insect. So, yeah, different animals have different adaptations, and the chimney swifts are very acrobatic in the air, and they make their sounds, and oh boy, they are back here. They also go away for the winter, because if you're going to eat airborne insects, you're not going to do too well in the wintertime in New York City, because we don't have a whole hell of a lot of airborne insects in New York City in the dead of winter. However, here it being spring, we got them. And so the chimney swifts are back, and I hope they get their fill of all of those, spotted lanternfly things?
Well, we don't know that they will eat those things.
We don't?
No, we do not.
But don't they eat just about anything that's going to, anything small that's going to fly?
They don't really fly around a whole lot.
The spotted lanternflies don't fly much?
Nope, they do not.
Oh, that's not good news.
And the other thing I wonder about is, with climate change, will the chimney swifts still do their route from South America to Brooklyn and other points and then go back again? We may end up having insects all year round.
Well, or we may end up with the more equatorial latitudes being too much for them. I mean, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Some birds could end up having their migratory routes disrupted severely because it's just too damn hot in some places. And the chimney swifts, as you say, go between, well, various places, but including Brooklyn and South America. So they have to cross the equator, and they cross the hottest part of the earth. So, oh boy, I wonder if they'll be able to keep it up. A lot of species are being affected by this. It isn't just the polar bears that look like they're doomed. There are other species that look doomed. But, oh well. I guess they'll be there for the next several years, you know, 10, 20 years, I suspect. But after that, who knows?
We don't know.
Again, younger listeners may find out about this and sadly not be able to see the chimney swifts flying around eating bugs anymore. Oh, boy. And yes, people are still denying that there is a climate crisis. God, how dense do you have to be? Well, it isn't just a case of being dense. It's a case of being dishonest in a lot of those cases.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
This past fortnight, we had a celestial event, and on TV, it was just, oh, the northern lights will be visible in places they're not usually visible in, and that's about as deep as it got in most places. And what happened was the sun was detected pumping out multiple coronal mass ejections, not just one, but a number of them. And yeah, we're in the active part of a solar cycle right now. And this part is quite active, apparently. And what happens there is the sun basically spits out some of itself. And it spits this out. The way it works is you have this plasma, this extremely hot plasma that is the sun that we see. Not talking about the interior where thermonuclear reactions are occurring. Talking about the stuff we see, the top 1,000 miles or so of the sun, the photosphere. And that's got a lot of complications to it, because what happens is the interior of the sun is spinning faster than the outside of the sun, which is understandable since it's not a solid body. It's plasma, which is very hot, charged, ionized gas. And so the plasma in the center is spinning around at a faster rate than the plasma on the surface of the sun. And of course, we're talking about many thousands, tens of thousands of miles of distance here. And what happens is magnetic fields are generated. So actually, the Earth sort of does a similar thing where we have solid stuff going on, and there's a difference. There's a little bit of a different kind of molecule, apparently. This is the latest. Well, maybe not the latest, but from a few years ago, there was the idea that in the Earth, there's a type of molecule that easily allows the interior of the Earth to spin just a bit faster than the mantle and the crust of the Earth. We live in the crust. Yeah, we're all crusty. We're crustites. Hello, fellow crustites. And so by that thing spinning, it creates a magnetic field. The sun, of course, has a lot more energy, and it's bigger, and it's a lot more ionized, and it creates very powerful magnetic fields. One of the things that was figured out about 30, 40 years ago was, if you have a system like that, with something spinning inside that is making the magnetic field, over time, it flips. And it's just the way the universe works. sort of like a gyroscope. A gyroscope is kind of odd to predict how it's going to behave, but that's the way it works, okay? And so I'll just say that one thing spinning inside another thing over time flips over. It turns over. So that's why in, I think it's 120 or 150 years from now, the Earth's magnetic field will essentially be very, very minimal. And then it will start to reverse so that magnets, that compasses that today have an N on them and point to the North Pole will still be pointing, but the N will be pointing to the South Pole because the magnetic polarization will change. Same thing happens in the sun, but it's so powerful. And because it's plasma, these electromagnetic forces are transmitted through all of this mass of roiling super hot plasma. And sometimes things don't work out and a magnetic field lifts a bit of the sun up and twists, and through other means it can no longer fall back because other magnetic fields won't let it. And so what happens is you get a coronal mass ejection where the magnetic fields kind of conspire to throw out another piece of magnetic field that contains matter, a lot of matter, billions of tons of matter. And you've got a whole load of like protons in there and everything. So that starts getting flung out into the solar system. And if you're in the way of one of those, interesting things happen. Now, nothing bad happened this past time that I know of. People did just get to see the Aurora Borealis, and the Northern Hemisphere would get it preferentially this time because it's spring and the northern part of the Earth is tilted toward the sun. And so the northern area, North Polar area, is getting hit preferentially by all of these protons. And so, yeah, you had a nice show and all of that. And these things could be not so fun. You can have a coronal mass ejection that will shut down your electricity grid. Coronal mass ejections can fry satellites in orbit. Coronal mass ejections can harm astronauts in near-Earth orbit. In fact, I think there's a special room in an International Space Station where if they detect a coronal mass ejection, and these things don't come instantly, they travel at a high speed, but because we have satellites and people observe the sun, they can tell that this stuff is happening. And so what happens is they can see it coming and they tell the astronauts, okay, on this date, everybody get into the safe room that's all shielded and wait there. And they do that. They wait there until the coronal mass ejection goes by because it's loaded with radiation. As I said, there are protons there and other subatomic particles that are speeding out. It's physical stuff besides the fact that it's a big magnetic field. And so for the aurora, of course, what it does is all of that hits the Earth's atmosphere when it gets funneled into the north and south magnetic poles of the Earth because, again, this big magnet hits the Earth's magnetic field and it gets moved around. Because it's powerful and it's spring here, people south of New York City could see it, and your brother got to see it far away, didn't he?
Well, he lives up right near the border of Quebec and Ontario, so he would get to see the northern lights occasionally. Anyway, but it was spectacular. Yes, he stood in his backyard and was like, wow. And I remember when I was a kid also seeing the northern lights. But this apparently was just spectacular for everybody, but not for us here in the light-polluted city of New York. No.
Well, besides light polluted, it was all heavily overcast and raining.
That's true.
And I've never seen the Northern Lights. I've never seen Aurora Borealis in person.
They're really something. Really something.
From what I've seen of pictures and videos, it's really something to look at. And it can even make some noise. So, oh boy, that must be really something. And early polar explorers were saying, what the bleep is this? When they went up there and saw these things and they could hear them. And, oh, man, they were just totally flabbergasted. And, of course, the people who live up there, the Inuit and the other tribes, they've been living there for thousands of years with this. And this is a part of their life, part of their culture. And, you know, I suppose the first ones that went up there, they were flabbergasted too. They probably made gods out of it all and said, yeah, the gods are talking to us. The Vikings, the Norsemen, the Norse, not all men, the Norse, this, what are now Scandinavians, also included the Aurora Borealis and their gods. Because you would. I mean, people make a god of a puddle of water. They're certainly going to make a god out of this display in the sky that's spectacular and colorful. And, oh, man, what's going on there? And which, for people who don't have a lot of science, is totally inexplicable. In any event, so it hit the Earth and we got a nice light show. This can, of course, do worse things. And I think it was 1989, Quebec got hit with one, and it fried their electrical system.
Yes.
Their grid was destroyed by the goddamn magnetic field hitting it. What happens, of course, is to make electricity, you put a you cross a conductor, an electrical conductor like copper, with a magnetic field. And that's how the electricity you use gets made in the first place. Doesn't count for batteries. That's a storage thing. But to generate electricity, you cross a conductor with a magnetic field. Well, that's what happened in Quebec, and it generated humongous amounts of electricity that nobody wanted, and it messed up their whole system and burnt things out. And there's, of course, also the 1859 Carrington event, which happened before we had a whole lot of technology, but people did have the electric telegraph, and a lot of strange things happened with that. This guy Carrington was observing the sun and noted it was doing some odd things, and another guy also said, yeah, the sun's looking a little different these days. And it was because they were looking at a coronal mass ejection coming at them. They didn't know what it was yet. And then it hit the Earth and did things to the telegraphs. There were some other things that happened too, but they didn't have satellites. They didn't have radio and television. So it wasn't that big a thing. Most people hardly noticed it. But we got hit with one, and there we are. And we were lucky again. There was we talked on the air last year about one that happened over 14,000 years ago that was huge. And it shows up in how it destroyed the ozone layer for a century. And you can see this in, like, the remains of trees and fossilized plants and things like that. Oh, man. Yeah. The universe can do a lot of stuff. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. All the campus protests are still in the news, of course, because that war is going on. That war has been going on for decades. And so this is all going on, and, oh boy, You know, some people are finally admitting that they are supporters of Hamas, which is not a good thing. You don't want to support Hamas. And my take is I dislike both sides in this war, and I have for a long time. You know, one side is murdering people one way. The other side is murdering people the other way. There's no good side in this. This is just two bunches of people having a war. Some of them enjoy the war. And as I've said, Hamas, with their October 7th action, Hamas planned all of this. The basic idea was Iran does not want Israel to try and make nice with Saudi Arabia. And so they had their pals, the Hamas people, pull October 7th, knowing it would absolutely enrage the Israelis. It would enrage anybody. If they came into America and did that, we would freak out and we'd go after them. You know, we did that after 9/11. Not very well. Speaking of Saudi Arabia and Saudi citizens who should have been not allowed to flee, as George Bush Jr. did. In any event, so we're seeing all of this, and, you know, there's this river to the sea stuff. And, yeah, I think that is also non-humanitarian. And it's just terrible stuff. And the thing is, years ago, I just decided I have to emotionally disengage from all the stuff that goes on over in the Middle East, because I dislike both sides. I don't want to start saying, oh, and this side did this, or they did that, and they did that, and this did that. No, I'm not going down that. Plus, it's all horrible stuff. I mean, it's horrible that people are getting bombed in Gaza. It's horrible that people were getting raped and murdered in Israel by Hamas, and some of them are still kidnapped in Gaza. And it's horrible that the people in Palestine have what amounts to a government. Nobody elected them, by the way. They're not the elected government. Hamas took over. They took over from another group that was, I don't know, maybe as bad, maybe not quite as bad, whatever the deal was. It was a takeover, a physical takeover. So I just don't like any of this, and I'm not taking sides on it, but Hamas planned all of this, and they're getting what they wanted. They don't care about the people in Gaza getting hurt. They simply use them against Israel. So they're managing to get a lot of American college students on their side, and they're probably very pleased. And I don't know what this portends for the future, but it's bad stuff. Plus, of course, we've got out-and-out anti-Semitism coming up, because there is a significant amount of that in some of these protests, too. But there you go. It's bad stuff, and I'm just not going to get involved in that stuff, because a pox on all of them. So in this past fortnight, presidential debates were agreed to. We're going to get one in June and one in September, and it's going to be Biden and Trump. And even though there hasn't been an official announcement, you know, they haven't officially nominated either one of them, but we know it's going to happen. So this is a we know what's going to happen debate. And so that's going to happen, and it might be interesting. It might be intensely boring. Last time, the high point, I thought, was when Biden yelled at Trump, "Oh, shut up, man," because Trump couldn't control himself, of course. He had to keep interrupting and forcing himself on things. And this time there's going to be no audience, so he's not going to be able to play to that. And we'll see how this goes. I really do hope Biden trounces Trump, is what I hope. And so we're going to get these debates. And Trump is saying he wants Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in on the debate. And Biden says, no. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not a real candidate. He has no chance to win. And so bringing him in there would simply be a way of manipulating him to go after Biden. Although maybe Biden could manipulate him to go after, you know, to do stuff to Trump. But anyway, and RFK Jr. has come up. He says a lot of silly things. He's full of conspiracy hoaxes and all sorts of things that now he's not playing up so much anymore. And now he came out with the statement that a worm ate some of his brain and died there. Oh, that would explain a lot, you know, considering the way he behaves and the positions he's taken and the conspiracy hoaxes he's put forth. An article in the New York Times this past week said that, quote, doctors consulted by the New York Times speculated that Mr. Kennedy described symptoms of an infection with larvae of the pork tapeworm Taenia solium, unquote. So they're saying, yeah, that can happen. I thought tapeworms only got into your gut and did things there. There's the old joke of, what do you want to eat? Two rotten eggs and a piece of burnt toast. Really? Why do you want that? I have a tapeworm, and that's good enough for him. I mean, the Three Stooges did that joke. Others did that. It's a joke from long ago, and it got recycled a lot. But, so yeah, I didn't know they also got into your brain, but apparently they do. And, oh boy, this is not good. But, yeah, Kennedy really... I think he has something worse than a tapeworm in his brain.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
We all know that the Supreme Court is a real mess these days and very biased and political. Well, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito is contributing even more to that now. Yes, it's about a flag. And it was, he had his flag and it's being flown upside down. It was being flown upside down. And that's a statement. And it was like that, being flown upside down, less than 2 weeks after the insurrectionists had used an upside down American flag to represent their, quote, stop the steal position, as they tried to overthrow the government on January 6, 2021. And the following is from the Daily News. It says, quote, Alito, who was appointed by Republican President George W. Bush, did not deny the upside-down flag was outside his home. Instead, he blamed his wife, Martha Ann Alito. Quote within the quote, I had no involvement whatsoever in the flying of the flag, unquote, Alito said in an email to the New York Times. Quote, it was briefly placed by Mrs. Alito in response to a neighbor's use of objectionable and personally insulting language on yard signs, unquote. And I don't know, apparently somebody had something anti-Trump on their yard sign, and so she retaliated by endorsing the insurrection. This is at a time when they were considering things in the Supreme Court regarding him. It's such a corrupt Supreme Court now. And this controversy is coming up now, and it comes just weeks after the Supreme Court heard arguments on whether Trump should be protected by presidential immunity in his federal election subversion case, which is about January 6th. So, yeah. Yet another not exactly disinterested Supreme Court justice. He's very political, too, and this is not good for America. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Oh, it's the WBAI pitching train coming in for a special. It's the WBAI pitching special train. Oh, who's on there? It's the Pitching Hobos. Yes, here we are. We are the Pitching Hobos, and we are here to ask you to help keep WBAI going. Literally, that's what we're trying to do. We need for folks to help WBAI to keep going. And what we're going to do here is we are required now to pitch a bit longer than we had been required. And the minimum requirement is 12 minutes nonstop at the end of every program. Oh, boy. And the general manager says in an email, you should redesign your show to have 12 minutes minimum at the end. And he wants us to raise at least $90 per week. And this is an interesting idea. I don't think we're raising quite that much. We've gotten some. We haven't been told who yet, so we can't thank you, but we will endeavor to find out. And we are going to pitch here. So what you do is, to support WBAI, please call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining memberships. So for a sustaining membership, what happens is you donate to the station once a month. And how that works is you call 1-212-209-2950 and you say, I want to donate the name of Back of the Book and become a BAI buddy. And you will give the people at the call center, that's who picks up. You're not calling BAI directly on this. It's a call center that handles it. There are legal reasons for that now. And so you call up the call center and you tell them you want to donate. You can donate $10, $15, $20 a month, more if you can afford it. And you tell them you give them the numbers of your credit card or debit card so it can be charged on a monthly basis. And you tell them what day of the month you want your card charged. That way it's done conveniently for you. So you tell them that, and they will sign you up, and you will become a BAI buddy. Please tell them you want to be a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, because management is saying that, oh boy, if you don't, quote, pull your weight, unquote, you're gone. So you may find a bunch of radio programs gone in the not-so-distant future. You may find a significant number of overnight programs gone in the not-too-distant future. And that's because we don't have as many listeners. There are fewer people awake during the overnight hours from midnight to 6 a.m. And so we need to appeal to you to call 1-212-209-2950 if you want to keep hearing Back of the Book on WBAI. If you want WBAI to survive, we need you to call us up. And we did manage to knock down a significant portion of the tower bill, but that bill comes in every month. That bill is $17,000 every month. Also, the call center that you're calling, we owe them a pile of money, too. So WBAI is not exactly flush here. And what's happening is management says we need to deal with this. And also the rest of Pacifica says so, too, because the rest of Pacifica isn't doing that well either. And for years, we've had help from other parts of Pacifica. Well, they can't do that anymore. It's impossible. And this is a problem here where we now must do this. And one quote from the email from the general manager is, meanwhile, everyone is waiting for WBAI management to act responsibly and cut shows that are not, quote, carrying their weight, unquote. And that whole thing was a quote. And that's something we got to deal with right here. We need to get some BAI buddies. And the buddies are important because having a bunch of them makes it so that management can plan what bills to pay when. And because otherwise, you know, money comes in and then no money comes in. So it's stop and start. And that's chaotic. With the BAI buddies, if you're donating on a sustaining basis, it helps a lot, this steady income that management can really deal with and hope for. 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number now. Now, you know, we talk about various science things on this program. We did a whole big one, a couple of weeks ago. We did almost the entire program on dark energy and a discovery that calls into question whether it's a constant or whether it's variable. And if it's variable, by the way, that also means, is it variable in different places at different times? Oh, boy. Anyway, so we did all that kind of programming, and you're not going to hear that anywhere else. You're not going to hear a back-of-the-book radio program anywhere else. And if you don't call 1-212-209-2950 and become a BAI buddy, you're not going to hear back of the book on WBAI either. On top of which, WBAI has to look at all of the programs, and it looks at the overnights. The overnights kind of underperform and in terms of fundraising. And management has had it suggested, indeed, that what they need to do is say, okay, we're going to rent out WBAI's air, the signal, between midnight and 6 a.m. 7 days a week. And that would mean all of those overnight programs will cease to be on the air. If you want to think that they're going to go somewhere else on the air, well, there are no vacant spots on the air. So unless you're thinking that some of the overnight programs are going to displace some of the prime time and other time programs, well, that's probably not going to happen. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call. Give us a, wait a minute. There's a cow on the tracks. Help us get the cow off the tracks. The cow is our big bills. Our big bills are stopping the WBAI pitching train. We need you to help us. Call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yeah, I want to donate. I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You can also make a one-time donation. That's fine, too. We like that. Make sure they get your name. And tell them again, it's for Back of the Book, in the name of Back of the Book. And again, we don't get any money. The money ends up going to BAI, and it goes to pay bills like the tower bill. We are at 4 Times Square, and our transmitter is there, and that transmitter feeds a signal into the tower on top of 4 Times Square, and other stations share that antenna. And that's how you're hearing us and everything else on BAI. We're going through that antenna. Well, the thing is, we need to pay them. And we got very far in arrears with not paying them, and they are not pleased. But we paid them like at least 50 grand was given to them. And so that's helped a bit. But we owed them a lot more than that. Again, it's $17,000 every single month. And we need you to help us with that. And also the call center, we owe them like, general manager says, we may owe them like $90,000, $92,000 right now. And if the transmitter people say, look, we've had it with BAI, and they flip a switch, it turns the power off to the transmitter. That's it. We're not going anywhere. There's no more BAI on the air. If the call center says, look, we have held you, you know, we've supported you all this time. You owe us too much money now. We're not going to take calls for you anymore. Then WBAI is not going to be able to ask you to call a number and give us money. The number you got to call, help, is 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from as many of you as possible right now. Oh, I'm catching my breath here. Yes, 1-212-209-2950. We do a lot of science programming here on this radio program. We talk about politics, obviously, and we're willing to be not in line with everybody's politics. We're willing to say stuff that some people will not like. That's life, and we hope you can appreciate that, even if you disagree with us. please call 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. Please pick up your phone. Pick up your phone. Dial 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And they'll talk you through how to do all of that, and that will help us out tremendously. If, in fact, management says that if people get enough BAI buddies, what will count is how much comes in per month. So if we get enough BAI buddies to make what? Is it 90 or 97? Oh, God. Let me look this up again. The general manager says that if we make like $90 or $92 a week, we're okay on BAI buddies. And that way, if you become a BAI buddy, you're one of the people who does that. So if we had like 10 people call in right now, calling 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book at $10 per month, well, that would be 1 week's worth. So we need more than that. Ah, I didn't calculate that well, did I? 1-212-209-2950. Oh, please give us a call. Call us up. If we get enough BAI buddies, we will be able to stay on the air. Back of the Book will stay on BAI and WBAI will stay on the air. But we need you to call us. 1-212-209-2950. Please call us now. That has been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, Again with David Kenny.
Dave Kenny again. And we're supposed to be back here next week. And again, we have had a situation a couple of weeks ago where, whoops, we were supposed to be on and we weren't on. And management didn't pay attention to what they'd sent out. But that's why we weren't on last week. They thought we were supposed to be preempted the week before, and we said, no, we're not. We weren't supposed to be preempted last week either, but they threw a preemption in. Anyway, stuff like that can happen depending on how much money is raised. And late spring is about to happen on Monday afternoon. At some point, we're going to get some nice days, and it won't be raining all over the place. So go out and enjoy that. And above all, remember what that hoping to wallow a bit in late spring dormouse said. Well, another crazy day. Drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be on Sunday, May 19th, 2024 at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641711. Everyone is welcome to call in and join the meeting. Again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641711. Hope to see you at the meeting.
I taught paralegal studies, criminal justice, and also political science. And to introduce young people to WBAI, I actually made a requirement, and it's on the syllabus, that they were having to listen to, like, Law of the Land with Gloria Brown Marshall and Law and Disorder, just to introduce them. And these are students who have decided that they'll continue listening to the station.
Hello, WBAI listeners and supporters. If you'd like to share your ideas for increasing WBAI's listenership, as well as for building a stronger WBAI, then tune in Tuesday, May 21st from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. for the second report of 2024 from the WBAI Local Station Board. This month, you'll be introduced to more PNB directors and to one LSB officer. As usual, they'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and again, ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI. This is your chance to interact with the board members on the show, so don't let this opportunity pass you by. Again, that's Tuesday, May 21st, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. for the